What's going on?
Oh, shit.
How you doing?
Recorded live.
Hey, easy.
What the hell happened to you, Otis?
Poison ivy out back, maybe?
We're itchy.
No, they're not my parents. They're trying to trick you.
Hey.
The worms are in their brains.
All right, look, y'all stay right there on the spot. I'm going to call the paramedics to come help you, and Kylie's going to come with me.
Hey there, killer! Charlie's my woman, you prick!
What's going on?
Oh, my easygoing nature is getting sorely fucking tested.
Hey, everyone. Welcome out to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. This is your host with the most, Nick Nitro, with standing in co-host DJ Ogdog. Say hello, DJ Ogdog.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, you know what? That's just
I'll back
cool.
off a little bit, dear.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Back off. That really fucking hurt my ears. God. What a great way to start off the show. Jimmy and Nathan, they sadly couldn't make it tonight, so we have Ogdog here filling in for them again. Jimmy wishes to send his condolences, as does Nathan. That's a lie. They've not said anything about it. But if you have a comment about this week's show, or even last week's, or we have a topic, a news scoop, anything, goodbadgeeky@gmail.com, so go ahead and write us in. And we don't really have any emails this week, so let's go straight to the news that you don't care about. We actually got a lot of news. Apparently Matt Damon and Ben Affleck within the next year or so will begin to write their next screenplay after their first screenplay together, which obviously, if some of you don't know, won is that little thing called an Oscar. It's Good Will Hunting. They wrote back in college, and, well, Matt Damon actually started writing it, but then Ben Affleck came on and sort of hogged some of the glory. But, so that's some interesting news, and, some of you who are going out to see Transformers, which obviously a lot of you have, probably because of the sheer budget the movie is making. Also, some people I've heard have actually seen this during Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, which we didn't see this during Die Hard. We actually saw it during Transformers, and it's the new J.J. Abrams project called Cloverfield. Well, there's no name to it, but it's nicknamed Cloverfield, and it's at this party, and everyone's like having this big howdy-do, and they keep talking about how it's a going-away party, and all of a sudden weird shit starts happening, like an earthquake, and, you know, it's all shot with a home video camera. And, you know, at the end of it, they go outside and they see just New York start blowing up, and you hear this weird roar, and it's like, you're not sure if it's a monster, if it's the earthquake, or what's going on. And then the trailer ends with the Statue of Liberty head being spit out towards, like, you know, whoever's shooting the video. And, the rumors that are circulating now is that the project is still untitled, and it still might release the film as just untitled. They don't know. But for those who love Lovecraft-like stories, you know, Cthulhu and all that stuff, like, you know, like Hellboy is sort of based in that. Again, every fucking time. So if that's two so far, you've had that on, and it has signed you off, sir.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Anyway,
you'll have that when you get a cheap channel like I got.
So Anyway, there's this one website. You might want to check it out. I just found it tonight. It's called Ethan Haas Was Right. It's Ethan, H-A-A-S, Was Right, NoSpaces.com. And it's this weird Lovecraftian-like little thing in New York. We don't know. No one knows if it's fan-made or not. But if not, it's some pretty interesting advertising. But, you know, J.J. Abrams, you know, did some decent advertising with Lost. There was that whole thing where they created the fake websites and all kinds of stuff. I got really hooked into that. So that could be something new.
There's a possibility. Let's just add one name to that: Cloverfield. Called the Cloverfield Project.
The Cloverfield Project. That could be it, too. Well, the thing is that there's
I'm sort of trying to lay that to the fact that the Blair Witch Project was filmed that way. So.
Well, but the Blair Witch Project, like, actually sucked.
This is true.
I don't think this movie actually looks good.
It looked pretty good.
What, like, you mean the Blair Witch Project looked good? No, it did not.
I said this does.
Oh,
yes,
okay,
it does look
okay,
good.
Okay. I was gonna say,
Blair Witch made you think.
And
that's about it.
Yeah, I remember I was a little like, oh, it was more like a movie that was well done in terms of getting the thrill, getting you get nervous about what was coming up. It was a good thriller, but then there was no payoff at the end.
That's true.
Considerably.
Of course, you got to look at Blair Witch. If you see it on the TV screen, it's not going to mean anything to you.
Actually, yeah.
If you saw it in the theater, it gave you a little bit of shock value, but
right.
It still wasn't that good.
Yeah. Now, apparently, get this. Two guys, these guys really love Christmas. Robert Zemeckis, he's done Polar Express. He did the first episode of Tales from the Crypt. And it involved a homicidal Santa Claus. And of course, Jim Carrey, he's done The Grinch. They're doing a new live-action / motion capture film. Disney's footing the bill. And it's the biggest Christmas story that's known to the general mass public. And it's considerably well-liked in that regard. Let me just clarify that. It's the Scrooge story, A Christmas Carol. And guess who's playing Scrooge and all the ghosts? Go on and guess. Could it be Jim Carrey? I'm going to say yes. Not just because that's what the press release said, but common sense would dictate. Well, if Jim Carrey is in it, the bastard's probably going to want to play multiple roles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. DVD news. Yeah, we're just moving right along. Yeah, this is more for Jimmy's behest, probably, because he would have wanted if Jimmy was here, he would have wanted me to mention it. But How I Met Your Mother Season 2 is being planned for release on October 2nd as a 3-disc DVD that will run for listing price as $39.98. Again, that's a planned release. It's not for sure set in stone. So, heads up on that. Moving away from DVD news, back to some other movie news. We sort of mentioned this last week, but Bryan Singer is sort of involved in this whole Tom Cruise hullabaloo that's going on in Germany, which they did sort of announce this, and this will tie into the original news item I was going to bring up. But Valkyrie, the Germans did finally said, okay, you can shoot here, and hell, we'll even give you money. I think they gave him over like $3 million to shoot there in Germany. Beyond fuck that. Well, Bryan Singer, who did Usual Suspects, X-Men 1, X-Men 2, Superman Returns, he's producing and directing Valkyrie with Tom Cruise as the star. And of course, there's this other movie they're trying to do, like a gay rights film that they're trying to do, because Bryan Singer is very openly gay. But their problem is that they've already committed to a Superman Returns sequel, and of course that's what the news is. They now have a planned idea that they want to start shooting in summer of 2008. So there is a sequel to Superman Returns, yippee-ki-yay. Superman's returning again.
Again,
and supposedly there will be a Superman-like battle sequence, which, compared to the last film, didn't really happen. It was more like, let's make Superman a man again and kick his ass. Actually, though, I gotta admit, I thought the film was really good. Everyone, Superman comic fans, gave it a lot of shit because you gave him a son, and then like you gave the Man of Steel like he's like a peeping Tom. I'm like, so what? They gave him angst. Who cares? The characters, I'm sorry, Superman is boring as fuck, okay? And if you have to Spider-Man him up a bit to make him all interesting, then shit, I'm not going to complain. Because Superman is boring. If he gets, in the movies or the cartoons, this is the first movie, like, he gets shot in the eye, fucker doesn't even flinch. and all the other cartoons, they have to make him like he can be beat, like a challenge, because if not, the show's boring. So if Superman gets shot with a gun up close, he gets knocked back. Superman shouldn't be knocked back. He gets shot with a shotgun up close. He's also there's like, really? You expected that to do anything? Like in the movie, point blank, gets shot in the eye. Fucker doesn't even flinch. Anyway, that's enough about Superman. I really just do not like Superman. So I'm very excited that there's a sequel with Bryan Singer involved, because he did wonders for the X-Men and the Superman Returns sequel. Okay, up next, Iron Man. Jonny Favs, or like I know him, Jon Favreau. You know, the guys, you know, started with Vince Vaughn and Swingers. Rudy, if you're that far back of a fan. And Maid, one of my favorite movies, actually, of those two together. He's been a director lately. He directed Elf with Will Ferrell, and he directed a film, oh, Zathura, which I love that film. I just read this literally right before we did the show, but apparently he released a statement about Iron Man, because Transformers came out, and apparently there's some fans were a little upset. So this is what he said. First of all, as you probably already know, there is a not a teaser trailer in front of Transformers, as many of you have hoped and speculated. We are, however, planning to reveal something very cool soon. This month, in fact, in San Diego at the Comic-Con, we secured a prime slot Saturday afternoon in the big room at the San Diego Comic-Con. We will split an hour with Marvel and the new Incredible Hulk movie and plan to cut something together to reward the fans for their interest, support, and patience. In addition to our Saturday afternoon presentation, we'll be doing a signing and poster giveaway at the Marvel booth. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Second of all, you had questions about the Ironmonger Mandarin Obadiah Stane. My response is read the books. We take certain liberties to keep things fresh and unexpected, but we essentially are using the books to inspire our story. Iron Man fans should have no problem piecing together what's what. As far as what villains appear in this movie's storyline, I should reiterate that in the years spent developing our story, we decided to treat Iron Man as a first chapter. We covered the origin story and the rise of the hero. It stands alone as a movie, but definitely leaves room for more to be told. Sequels often feel like the story was slapped together to scramble to exploit a successful franchise. I prefer when stories are mapped out in advance. They feel less repetitive and arbitrary. Additional Iron Man movies are by no means guaranteed, but if we are lucky enough to do more, we will be ready to do them. And third, cameos. I've read that Samuel Jackson, who's supposed to be rumored to be Nick Fury, and Hilary Swank are S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and that I myself will play a Vegas security guard. There's no truth to any of these rumors, well, except maybe one is true. And the AP news outlets said that Samuel Jackson was there, but he's also hinted before that Hilary Swank was there, so I'm not entirely sure if maybe they both shot cameos or if it's really just Sam Jackson, so no one knows. But I thought that's pretty cool. I really do like Jon Favreau. He's a good director. And he works with, for those who are fans of The Christmas Story, Little Ralphie. That's his producing partner. And he's helped him produce, not Swingers, but like, you know, Maid and all, every film they've done worked together since. Especially The Breakup. He actually did an acting role in The Breakup, which he was really funny in. TV news, sort of. Lost... this is from, I believe, Kristen at E! Online. She says, I can tell you that producers definitely have made an offer to Harold Perrineau, I'm probably mispronounced the name, that's Michael for some of those out there who don't know, to return the new season, which they also did last season. He denied it initially because he was working on a TV pilot. Back then, Harold was offered a truckload of money. Now, sources tell me he wants the same truckload. The question is whether or not he will receive it, hence the holdup on his return. So Michael may or may not be coming back next year, as initially thought. In Desperate Housewives news, Jimmy would probably, if he doesn't know this, well, you're going to hear it now, my friend. Nathan Thielen, one of our favorite actors, he was from Firefly and Serenity, played the captain. And also he played Bill Pardee in Slither, one of my actually now favorite horror movies. Is getting a role in the new... Well, I'm sorry. It's a fucking funny movie. You know what? I should put a clip in... I'll have that be the opener this week. It'll be a Bill Pardee quote.
Yeah, I was watching it.
A Bill Pardee quote. You know what? It'll probably be the one where he says, like, you know... It's like, I'm a very calm man, and my fucking patience is sore tested today. So, I'll put a Slither clip in front.
I figured you'd like the one about what? No Dr. Pepper?
Well, no, that's good, but that's not Nathan Fillion, though.
I know, but it's still
funny. Or the other guy, he's just like, That bitch is hardcore.
Oh,
God.
It was a good movie, I guess.
It went back to the whole campy comedy thing, which they don't really do anymore. It's just nowadays it's all let's show blood and TNA, and that, to me, only goes so far. You need some comedy in there. Ocello and TV Guide reports a few things. Dad, you're a big CSI Miami. Apparently, next season, Horatio will discover a branch of his family tree that he never knew existed. I don't watch the show, so that really means nothing to me. Except for when he discovers it, he will probably remove his glasses and say some cheesy line that not even William Pearson can pull off. And then he goes, well, that's my family. Anyway.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Oh, geez.
He's been married and killed off, and everybody that he loves has died on him or something.
He
married
the girl that his brother married, he loved, but she was a cop there, and then she left the show. But then didn't she eventually get killed? Because he liked her.
You mean his ex-sister-in-law? No, she's a private detective now. But,
I still
he marries one of his employees' sisters, and she gets executed.
Oh, wow.
It's sad.
It's a shame.
I know. The district attorney got killed too. He was dating her, and she got whack. They tried to make it look like he did it, but.
Of course.
Of course.
The evidence was on his side as he flipped his glasses off. And then back on when he said, I'm not guilty. The evidence proves that I'm not.
No, the evidence was sort of leaning towards that he did do it.
Oh, whatever.
No, he didn't.
Anyway, also, Ocello also reports, we're fans of numbers, Peter McNichol saying FU to 24, he's going back full-time to numbers, which, thank God.
Well, they're going to have to pull him out of that sabbatical to get that off, though.
I don't care. Just bring him fucking back. Because, like, even the one episode that he came back, it was a good episode. Like, don't get me wrong, the show was okay, but it was lacking Peter McNichol and his eccentricity. I mean, I can't say the word eccentricities. His eccentric behavior. Thank you.
Eccentric, that's the word I think you're looking for.
Well, eccentric.
Well, he just sort of went completely reverse. He spends, 6 months in the outer space, and before he went to outer space, he would never leave his office. He would never go home. Matter of fact, he got rid of his apartment, and next thing you know, he's up in outer space for 6 months. So when he comes back, next thing you do, you find him sitting on the beach looking up at the sky. So he went 100% different. He went from being a recluse in his office or classroom to hiding out on the beach. I'm going. So he's really eccentric, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they also said that, and I'm really stoked about this, but I forget his name, the guy who got caught, who was a traitor, this last in the season finale, which totally fucking came from right left field. I think it was so fucking wishy-washy from the writers, I gotta say. Unless the big plan is that
he's a double-double-double
agent.
He's a double-double-double agent.
Because they've Ocello, like in a few weeks ago, reported, and I think we mentioned on the show, is that he is coming, he's still
signed up for next season.
Yeah, and he's a regular. He's not being put. So we have no idea that he's going to help them out, like, you know, as a suspect. See, I don't know. And what's sad is I actually like him on the show, so I don't know. We'll go from there and see how it plays out, you know, like every other fan has to. For those who love House, I like to occasionally watch House, but I know you really get into it. Well, I mean, it's a good show. I don't want to knock it. It's just I can't get into it constantly. Like CSI, for example. I like the original CSI. Can't get into it all the time. But House, there was some news that Boston Legal, that there were cast members being added on, and as such, the original three kids were getting fired. That is not true. They are adding four new people of Two of them are women. One of them is being described in her 30s and is mysterious, while the other one is in her 20s and a real go-getter. The guys consist of a plastic surgeon in his 30s and possibly a single dad in his early 40s. And they're sort of taking a Scrubs-like approach, and that is the other kids, you know, Omar Epps and all of them, they're actually beyond, you know, they can move on. They're still a part of the cast, but they're in higher positions now. They're not learning from house all the time. They're actually...
They all resigned at the end of the season there, which I was shocked.
Oh, they did. They're still there, so they get taken back from the way I'm reading that.
Because you're going to find out, it's just an opinion, but
they never actually took the resignation.
Well, they took the resignations and they can't get a job anyplace because they're too
stupid.
No, not too stupid. They're just too stupid. Freewheeling. Stupid. Houses
spoiled them.
Spoil them.
Well,
that's my opinion. So I don't know.
Then. From there, I mean, that's pretty much it for the first half of the show. We'll go ahead and actually, you know what, this is a good time to bring this up. For those who, the only reason why you probably even know this is because either you know me personally, or you are actually a fan of Dribble for Kids and you just like to listen to me blab on about this stupid asinine entertainment shit. But it's some D4K related news. For MidOhioCon 2007, I think, 2007, and also at MegaCon 2008, which I will be attending. Now, I'm not entirely sure if I'm attending it with the Gidcast crew and Jimmy, or we'll be a part of them under their table, or we might be under our own table altogether, which is some new, which we'll talk about that later when we get more news on that. But one of the things that we're offering is we're offering a CD which benefits Relay for Life. For my cousin's charity. Well, it's not her charity, but she's, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Cancer research.
Cancer research. She's a cancer survivor.
Where's the 2008 gonna be held at?
Oh, at MegaCon.
Yes.
In Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
Okay. For those who don't know, we are house based in the Columbus, Ohio area. So Ohio, we going down south. But anyway, the CD features stuff that you've heard right here on this podcast. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. It's going to be like an uncurring thing, like every other year we might be doing a CD. We did like two parody songs on The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. But I also help out on The Gigcast, also at www.thegigcast.com with my awesome friends JT and Scott. But I do some other bits with them, other parody songs, like Scott Kurtz versus The World at Large, stuff like that. That's going to be on the CD. We also have other original songs that we've mixed up. As a matter of fact, we're going to play one of a little sneak preview of one of those tracks here for you today on the program. So you probably will think it sucks, but I don't care. It was a lot of fun to do, and also it's for a good cause anyway.
Which one are you doing?
We'll find out.
Oh, am I in it too?
We don't know.
We don't know. Okay.
We don't know. So,
what you gonna do?
Out of 25 tracks or so, that's two songs as an option, and I really just do not know which one we're doing. So, but we'll be right back right after that, and we'll talk about Transformers. So, stay tuned.
One, two, here we go.
Working all day for a mean little man with a grip on tie and a rub on tan. He's got me running around the office like a dog around the track. When I get back home, you're always there to rub my back. Hey, Julie, look what they're doing to me, trying to trip me up, trying to wear me down. Julie, I swear it's so hard to bear it, and I'll never make it through without you around. No, I'll never make it through without you around. I was on the phone making pointless calls. I've got a desk full of paper that means nothing at all. Sometimes I catch myself staring into space, counting down the hours till I get to see your face. Hey, Julie, look what they're doing to me, trying to trip me up, trying to wear me down. Julie, I swear it's so hard to bear it, but I'll never make it through without you around. No, I'll never make it through without you around. How did it come to be that you and I must be so far away from each other every day? Yeah, yeah. Why must I spend my time filling up my mind with facts and figures that never add up anyway? They never add up anyway. For a mean little guy with a bad toupee and a soup stain tie, he's got me running around the office like a gerbil on the wheel. He can't tell me what to do, but he can't tell me what to feel. Hey Julie, look what they're doing to me, trying to tear me up, trying to wear me down. Julie, I swear it's so hard to bear it, and I'll never make it through without you around. No, I'll never make it through without you around. No, I'll never make it through without you around.
All right, we're back, and that was a sneak peek of the new album, which, by the way, it does have a name. It's called Taking in the Heat, the best and possibly worst of Nick Nitro and Friends. Let me just state that all the people, my friends and family who've actually helped out with it, they do an awesome job. The worst part is really with me, as that previous song might have suggested. So anyway, it's just a heads up, and so that's what we have cooking there. But this last week, we saw Transformers. It's the new hot thing right now in theaters before Harry Potter, you know, enchants everybody and smokes them and kills them. Or supposedly, Transformers actually didn't do too great, box office-wise, in terms of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's over like $100 million, but it started Monday. So, yeah, well, you know, midnight showing at Monday night or Tuesday morning. And so it's made over its budget, but at the same time, it's just like, really? That it didn't do a great normal opening weekend. It only made like $47,000, $47
million. 47 million
from Friday, right?
From Friday to
yeah
to the next Friday or what?
Friday to tonight, and that's estimated.
That's estimated,
right? Because there's still movie times and stuff going on. Because it's later in the it's like a few hours before midnight here on a Sunday. So, but anyway, thoughts on Transformers, sir? What did you think of it?
Well, being an older adult, I've never watched it. Didn't watch it much when I was raising you, whatever you want to call it, but it basically gets you into the story and tells you what's happening. So if you listen to what they're saying, they explain why they showed up, and it's sort of self-sustaining. You really don't need to see the cartoons to understand it.
Yeah,
but it moves pretty fast, and there's a lot of action in it.
A lot.
The only thing I could say, I have to go back to what we talked about last week about Shaft. Those Army Marines, some of them were the luckiest guys in the world because they never got killed. But other than that, it was pretty good. I thought it was really a good action flick.
Okay, now, there are a lot of plot holes, are there not?
Well, of course. I mean, you
it's
know.
A Michael Bay film. For those who don't know who Michael Bay is, Michael Bay has given us such classic hits as The Rock, Armageddon, The Island, Pearl Harbor. So you see that there's a lot of greatness stemming from Michael Bay. Now, just to say, he does make good action movies. I mean, or his action sequences, they are well done. And this is actually considered to be the most realistic portrayal of the military. The military has publicly released that. That's how the military would really act in this kind of situation, and da-da-da-da. And that sort of take... I mean, I read about that back when they were doing pre-production work, is that Michael Bay has always had a good relationship with the military, but apparently Pearl Harbor just, you know, signified his relationship with them. Because he had to talk with a lot of older gentlemen and whatever, whatnot. Anyway, lots of explosions and shit going off all around. Shia LaBeouf was really good, but the action sequences, I thought, like, for me, that's a movie that you should watch on the big screen, because it's so larger than life. You won't take away the same thing when you watch it as, say, at home on your TV. It really is a movie to be watched in the theater. And, you know, like he said, it's a good action movie, but it's a big, dumb movie. Do not go in expecting, you know, all this and that. You know, don't expect greatness. Even though Steven Spielberg produced it, doesn't mean he was actually there, you know, trying to help out with the plot. So, I mean, there's... Because pretty much... And now, see, I was sort of the tail end of the Transformers when I was growing up. For me, it was Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles and He-Man. And He-Man was sort of going out, but I was still young enough that I was still enthralled with it, so you guys got me a lot of He-Man stuff. You know.
Yeah.
But Transformers was like maybe a year or two before that, and it was about right... It was sort of fading off. Right. And now when I got into Transformers is when it wasn't really popular anymore. It was like in the 90s. They did a CGI show called Beast Wars, and I would watch that every morning before we would go, where you'd take me to school. And I thought the show was great. As a matter of fact, it actually, to me, it was one of the first cartoon shows that was a serial show that actually ended. It began, it moved the plot forward, and it ended. And it ended, you know, it ended with like them defeating Megatron. There were like major character deaths, you know, sides were turned and twisted, crisscrosses and all this and that. And it was fabulous. And anything I did know about the Transformers came from that movie, from that show. The only thing I barely remember is that at one point in the original series, Optimus Prime sacrificed himself, got killed. Well, that's obviously sacrificed himself. And then at one point comes back later towards the end of the show, and everyone said that it was sucked or whatever. But see, I don't know the show that well enough. No, I really don't.
Well, I don't either. But it's just that the Optimus Prime, you know, and even all the Transformers involved look at humans as flies. Only some of them think it's okay that they're alive, and the other ones they want to take over the world and destroy them. So, you know, it's
they
keep it for themselves.
Well, even the Autobots, the Autobots are the good guys, by the way. There's the Autobots and Decepticons, and pretty much the basic plot is, and this is sort of how it was, what I've gathered in Beast Wars, is that there was a planet called Cybertron, and there was these dueling sides, the Autobots and the Decepticons, and they're all looking after this thing called the Almighty Spark. At least this is how it was in Beast Wars. And in Beast Wars, it followed them to this planet, which in Beast Wars ended up being future Earth. Or Earth, how Earth would be later, you know, they were in the past, in the primal Earth. You know, dinosaurs were still roaming the Earth and stuff like that. Big giant beast. Yeah, so that's why they all look like giant apes or giant... Anyway... Point is, and that's sort of what happened in this movie. There's a giant cube that contains, it's the Almighty Spark or something like that, the Great Cube, and it lands on Earth, and Megatron, who apparently betrayed the other leaders of Cybertron, including Optimus Prime, who apparently is his brother, by the way, he betrays Cybertron, pretty much destroys it by over-mechanizing everything, you know, like Hitler probably would have done. He burned all their resources. And he went after the cube. The only thing is that when he went after the cube, Megatron never returned, and the cube is somewhere on Earth. So no one knows what happened to Megatron, and no one knows what happened to the cube. But guess who's wrapped up and involved in it? Little plucky Shia LaBeouf and his little car Bumblebee. who cannot talk. He can only use radio or satellite radio. And pretty much that's the basic plot. And Bumblebee, there are some Decepticons and some Autobots who are looking for the cube. If Cybertron, because apparently this cube or this Almighty Spark can grant life to other non-bipedal, non-existent things. Like, they can take your cell phone or a CD or your DVD player and make it a Transformer.
Yeah.
Which, actually, my favorite part of the movie is by accident, Shia LaBeouf turns the Mountain Dew pop dispenser... And that's the thing, they're really fucking mean. They're not like the Autobots where it's like, oh, we love things and, you know, we like to save the human race. They become nasty fucking, they're like gremlins almost. It's like they transform and they just start blowing shit up. It was so funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
What happened? Matter of fact, that was a whole of the plot. What happened to them after they got turned into?
They don't know. It'll probably be talked about in the sequel. Mountain Dew bot.
That's probably right.
And Nokia phone bot, which, you know, I'm surprised they don't have a toy for it. But yeah. So they're after this thing and this cube, and this cube can do this. But if it's put in the wrong hands, it can also take away life as well. And so obviously that's why Megatron wants it. And of course, Optimus Prime is throughout the whole movie saying, if we cannot just find the cube before the Megatron does, then but we can still get a hold of the cube and we can't destroy it, then I need to put it into my spark, and so I sacrifice myself. I'm just like, oh fuck, just like the cartoon, Optimus Prime's gonna die. This is only the first movie. What a fucking bummer.
Well,
I'm not gonna spoil it to you. Does he die? Does he not die? Or does somebody else get it at the end? You don't really know. But either way, it was surprising. I mean, the action sequences, there's so much. My friend at work gave me an actual fold-out to hang up in my cubicle of, the, like, the, you know, all of them but Optimus Prime. Like, you know, Bumblebee, Jazz, Ironhide, and all of them. And the detail is amazing. Looking at a still, you can't really see that in the movie, though, because they never fucking stop moving.
That's true.
They never stop moving. And that was actually my only complaint. And that's why I want to see the movie again. You didn't really feel that way. Like, you didn't really want to see the movie again.
No. Right?
I thought it was fun enough to see it again.
They were too
but
big on the screen. The screen was big, but they were too big
we
on
were
the
far,
screen.
We were pretty far. We were
we
decently
were pretty
far.
High up and eye level. I didn't have to look up to watch it, but it was just...
Yeah, so, I mean, depending on, I mean, for me, I wouldn't mind watching it just because it was a fun movie, but just to see if there was anything else that I missed.
One of the good guys got hurt pretty bad, and we never knew about it.
Well, we didn't know which one it was.
We didn't know which one it was either. But
well, I mean, because we were looking at it, I was like, well, who the fuck?
I said, when did he get hurt?
Yeah, you said when he got hurt. Well, I knew someone got the robot gets fucking ripped in half, and I'm not going to say who it is because I do know who it is now, but I didn't know who was doing it, and I didn't know who was getting ripped in half. Now, obviously, it's not Bumblebee because he's bright fucking yellow, but when you have, like, three Autobots who are black or gray, you know, it makes it really hard to tell who is who, and especially, like, Starscream is, like, a gray jet. And Starscream doesn't really get to be utilized as well as I would like. Starscream is, you know, another fan favorite. Oh, and speaking of fan favorites, this again goes with, you know, how some fans are with Spider-Man. Like, the Green Goblin costume didn't look like the Green Goblin costume and shit like that. Optimus Prime's flames. Who the fuck cares about the flames? No one cares. Get over yourself. It does not add or take away from the movie. And you know what? They move around so goddamn much. The only time you do notice is this. He fucking kills one of the Decepticons, and they do this moving shot, like, underneath Optimus Prime, like, doing a moving left or left to right under this underpass as he looks up as other Decepticons. Another chase goes above him, and you see the flames. For one, that's the only time I was like, oh, there are the flames. The other time I was like, what's the big... I couldn't see him. Because he never stops moving. They don't focus on it. It's
well,
just
when he's a
car,
tractor, you can see him. But.
Well, but I didn't notice him. It didn't make me go, fucking
I
Michael
it was
Bay.
Cool looking. I don't know.
Fucking Michael Bay. And
if I had a truck, I'd want flames on him.
It's because you're flaming. Flaming truck of doom.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's my opinion. I thought that people are going to bitch, and people have been bitching about that, and I don't understand what the... With the big hullabaloo.
We're not allowed to tell what the government knows about the Transformers, or
I don't care.
You don't care about that. It was amazing. If you liked Roswell, then you'll understand that the government's right on top of everything. So
they do sort of.
There's a lot of the people that should know it that don't know it. And that's
right. Well, that's
the conflict with the people.
They sort of borrow it from Independence Day. Where the president doesn't know about it, but the Secretary of Defense... Well, in this case, John Voight, the Secretary of Defense, does not know, but there is a group called Sector 7, and they fucking know about it. Apparently, and actually, I did think this was pretty neat. All the technological advances that were created by our scientists were derived from...
The cube.
Don't say the cube.
Of them having control of the cube.
The cube, thank you, sir. And
even though it was dormant, they still had the
right. Now, my only other frustration was out of the Autobot who passed away that we mentioned earlier, got ripped in half and fucking died. We didn't know who it was. The cube, there's moments where, like, the Decepticon that got the shit kicked out of him, he was still moving around. He can, like, move around himself. He touches the cube, and he heals himself. Bumblebee, apparently, early before the movie starts, in another fight with the Decepticons, he lost his voice box. He can't communicate with his normal voice box. So he has to communicate through, like, a stereo system.
Well, it was damaged, too.
It was damaged.
Because you couldn't make sense of it. You had to really pay attention real close when he was, because he was grabbing it from different places. But once he got sort of healed, he was doing better.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, there's at one point where Bumblebee does get a hold of the cube, and I don't understand. At that point, poor Bumblebee just gets the shit kicked out of him, too. And it's like, why don't you fucking take the cube, heal yourself, heal your voice box, I just didn't understand that. Maybe it's because they're good guys, and good guys don't use the weapon of ultimate destruction or ultimate whatever against, you know, to better themselves, even though it would make the movie go by faster. But yeah, anyway, that was really my only major gripe, really. But oh well. So overall, what do you give Transformers, sir, out of a scale of 10? 10 being better?
I don't know, 7. 8?
7. I'll give it about an 8, too. I mean, in terms of plot, I give it about 2.
I'd have to say, honestly, say anything above an 8, I'd go back and see again. So that's why, you know, like you said, I wouldn't see it again. So I'd give it about a 7.
7. I can see that. And, I mean, the thing is, too, is, like, it's a movie that you'd probably watch on cable. Would you watch it on cable, though? You're talking about, would you pay
would
to...
Would I watch it again on cable? Yeah, I'd watch it again on cable.
But in terms of... 7.
Anything below 5, I'm not ever going to watch
it. But in terms of paying for it, you mean you wouldn't go to pay for it again? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, see, I wouldn't mind seeing it one more time just to just see if I miss some other things visually. And also, it's a good ride. But so I give it about an 8. Next week, Og Dog might be back. If not, we might have Jimmy or Nathan back. You know, because that's our show for today. I want to thank DJ Og Dog for stopping by, helping out, as always. If you have a comment about today's show, if you thought the song that I did earlier really just blew chunks out of your ass and you can't stand it, just write us goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. Or if you have a comment about something else we said, goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. And I hope you guys have a good rest of the week. And until the next episode, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Get out of here with that! Jeez! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, jeepers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!